Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome in to a Monday edition of the Burgundy and Gold. Today you're tapped in to the youngest in charge of El Willingham alongside the super producer, Anthony Haney. We will take you up to 7 o'clock. Number to call is 301-230-0980. If you want to keep the conversation rolling with me on social media, very, very easy thing to do. Same handle on each and every platform. It is at NELL_BTP. December the 1st of 2025. It took all the way until November the 30th for me to feel pretty optimistic about the old Washington Commanders moving forward. We will talk about the game in great detail as we roll throughout the show. Top of the 6 o'clock hour, of how David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, contributor for WSA 9. He is going to join us. He was in the locker room yesterday, and I want to get the vibe from Northwest Stadium last night. If you were in attendance last night, I want you to call us at 301-230-0980. Because we got the chance to talk to Grant live from the stadium pregame, and he was telling us, hey, look, not a lot of folks in the lower bowl. Was not a tremendous crowd last night. It was the first home game for Washington that was not a sellout. I think you would have to go back to the 2023 season to find the last Commanders home game that was not a sellout. So I will talk about that as we roll through the show. I was a little taken aback by that. I was surprised. But I get it, right? You're 3-8, 3-9 now. Not a whole lot of interest and excitement in this group. It was cold. It was Thanksgiving weekend. I get it. But if you were in attendance last night, you got to bear witness to an absolute treat. The way that this group performed last night. And I got people tweeting at me already. Linnell, I didn't think you were a moral victory type of guy. It's not about moral victories. I'm not counting last night as a win morally. You lost. The bottom line is you lost. At the end of the day, at the end of the game, when the clock hit triple zeros, Denver had more points than you. But if you watched that game last night and aren't feeling uber positive about what is to come for this group, I don't know what to tell you. Last night, what have we been asking for? And for over a month now, I've been asking, does this group have a pulse? Does this group have life? Last night, they showed not only do they have a pulse, not only do they have life, they got something to play for here in the final five games of the season. Their competitive spirit last night was exactly what I was looking for, was exactly what the doctor ordered. And I'll be honest with you, right? Because this is the National Football League. You get a little bit more credit from me for last night because of who the opponent was. You were going up against the hottest team in the National Football League. You were going up against the best defense in the National Football League. And with a backup quarterback, you all rolled up your sleeves and punched Denver in the mouth. Right off the rip. Punched Denver in their mouth. So much so that on the broadcast, I remember to start the fourth quarter, Chris Collinsworth is going, hey, look, Denver's got to be reeling right now. They know Washington's not that good of a team. They know Washington is battered with injury, but they didn't let it impact them. This is all we've been asking for the better part of the last 6 weeks. You were just as injured last night as you were the weeks prior. Now, I know, obviously, getting Terry McLaurin back, we're going to talk about him in great detail as he wrote throughout the show as well. Getting him back, obviously, is a huge boost. Getting Will Harris back, obviously, was a huge boost. But, man, the way that they competed, that's all we've been asking for. We know that there are going to be limitations. We know that you're playing with a backup quarterback. We know that you're not, you know, dealing with the most talented group of skill guys. But your attitude, your effort should not vary based on who's in and out of the lineup. Last night, I don't want to say for the first time this year, but damn it, for the first time this year, we saw that commander standard. In a loss, last night was Washington's best performance of the 2025 season. I argue with somebody you love. Not me. It was better than the Charger game. It was better than the Giants game. It was better than the Raiders game. Last night, without a shadow of a doubt, was the best performance all year long by the 2025 Commanders. And the thing that sticks out to me the most, the thing that has me the most proud as I sit here on the day after, you did it against one of the more formidable teams in the National Football League. You did it against a team that is on a short list of Super Bowl contenders, meaning you can play with anybody when you play up to your standard. You can play with anyone when you play up to your standard. And you did it last night. You did it last night with a spare tire at quarterback. It wasn't your guy under center. It wasn't Jaden Daniels. It was Marcus Mariota. And it's no shade to Marcus. But Marcus ain't Jaden. But Marcus is Marcus. And as we'll talk about throughout the show, sometimes Marcus being Marcus is all this team is going to need when he plays. There was so much good from him last night. So much good from him last night. Talking about Marcus Mariota. He was awesome. But overall, man, like, it couldn't have gone any better for the Commanders. We are competitive losers. Point blank. That's what I want to be for the final 5 weeks of the season. Twice against Eagles, one more time against the Giants, Vikings, and then you're one more time against Dallas. I want to be competitive losers from here on out. Felt good watching it, knowing that we could compete with the upper echelon teams here in the NFL. That's what last night showed to me. And some folks are going to say, oh, you're putting too much stock into it. It's just one game. It's not about it just being one game. It's about what I said a moment ago. They have life. They have a pulse. It's not as bad as maybe we anticipated. And here's the other piece of this thing. For you to give that type of effort coming out of the bye, if there was any question about whether or not Dan Quinn had lost this locker room, about whether or not the messaging was getting stale, about whether or not the right leadership is here, I think last night that was answered. And it's so exciting for me to talk about because for loving this team for all of my life, I have seen seasons go like this. Honestly, and you know how it is. Seasons go like this more often than not. And what do we always talk about down the stretch? Guys not playing hard. Guys quitting. Guys giving up on the coach. You didn't see this last night from the Washington Commanders. You didn't see it in Madrid. And quite frankly, you haven't seen it all season long. I know they went through that losing streak. At that point, when they were getting blown out by 21-plus points, that's an area, that's a moment in time where you can say, you know what, maybe, just maybe, the messaging is getting stale. Maybe, just maybe, they're not playing hard for them. After watching last night against that group, against that team, it's almost a good thing and a bad thing. Because now that I know that that is what lies within you, now that I know that that is what you're capable of, the standard has once again been raised. The standard has once again been elevated. We're going to talk about top offensive takeaways. We're going to talk about our top defensive takeaways. But this group and their ability, this group and their ability to tackle defensively last night, their ability to rally to the football, I know the pressure numbers weren't tremendous, but they got after Bo Nix when they needed to. We'll talk about the differences that we saw defensively here as we roll throughout the show too. But, man, just real quick to touch on a couple of things. Look, I'm a man first. I say it all the time when I do this. I'm not your average run-of-the-mill radio host. I'm going to say what the hell I mean and mean what the hell I say. But also, when I am wrong about something, when my opinion changes on something, I'm going to let you all know about it. I was a big proponent of, Dan Quinn calling the plays wasn't going to do much defensively for this group because the talent simply was not there. And even after last night, I think that is still partially true. But anybody who watched last night, and you're watching the disguises that they're showing in the secondary, the delayed blitzes, the simulated pressures, if you're watching this group last night and not understanding the role that Dan Quinn plays in that, you got to do your homework. And I have to do my homework. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is real. His impact is real. The difference is real. Now, here's the thing. I totally believe that his play calling has made the defense better. How much better? I don't think we know yet. Because the other part of this equation that maybe we're not discussing enough is the opponents the last 2 weeks. It was Miami, who's been lifeless at times this season offensively, and then Denver, who really has just lacked consistency on that side of the football. But beggars can't be choosers. You got to play who was on the schedule, and they played them well. The tackling, rallying to the football, playing hard, all the stuff that we begged them to do, they did it last night. And I'm not going to try and question this team's effort. It's not a responsible thing for me as a host to do because I think they all play hard. I think it's a good character locker room that loves the hell out of each other. Those dudes go to war for each other. I can tell based off of their reactions to their teammate success how much they like each other in the locker room. And that goes a long way. That goes a long way. Everybody talks about playing for a coach. I don't think I've ever played for a coach in my time of playing high school football, little league football, a little bit of college football. I've never played for a coach. That was never my motivation. You got to really lock in with the dude next to you that you're sharing beers with, that you're telling life stories with. You got to lock in with him and play for the guy next to you. And that's what I think they did last night. Last night, Washington played for the man next to them. Nobody had an ego defensively. Nobody gave a damn who made the play. They just went out there and hooped, point blank. And I just can tell how tight-knit they are. Just to peel the curtain back a little bit, I was DMing last night with our favorite injured reserve defensive end, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Say, hey, man, y'all hooped last night. The group looked solid, man. Those boys really bang with each other. This is a response that I got back. So that's what made me want to go on this tangent. They really, really go to bat for one another. They give a damn about each other. And that is one of the most important ingredients in a culture. And that word gets thrown around a hell of a lot. Culture this, culture that. After last night, not only do I feel confident and comfortable about the culture moving forward, I feel like big picture, maybe, just maybe, my outlook has changed off of one game, because there were a lot of questions answered last night. We're going to get to all of them as we roll throughout the show. 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. And look at the top of your screen. Look at it. He's getting love because wham! What the hell he was supposed to do? Mikey Stavers still playing outside corner last night with a vengeance. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about the defense all throughout this opening hour of the program. 301-230-0980 is the number. When we come back, I'll give you my biggest offensive takeaways from last night's loss against the Denver Broncos. Don't go anywhere. It's the Team 980.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game decider. Mariota inside the corner. Touchdown.
That was Terry McLaurin's touchdown last night. His return to action was eventful. 14 targets, 7 receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown. As he paced Washington in the pass game, him and Zach Ertz were awesome. Deebo Samuel got in on the work as well. I was just really impressed, man. Every time I think about what we saw last night, I almost catch myself saying, hold on now. Don't overreact. Don't get too geeked up by what you saw. But no, you have to believe what you see. Our eyes told us in the 6 weeks prior that this team wasn't worth a damn at all. So when they do show life, when they do come out and show that they have a pulse, I got to give them credit for it. This team last night proved so much to me. Now, obviously, in hindsight, it's frustrating, right? Because you realize, damn the Atlanta game. Damn the Chicago game. Just how close you actually are or were to being right in the thick of the postseason race. That is the one thing that really grinds my gears a little bit, is how close this team actually is or was to being a postseason team. When you think about the way the conference is going, Philadelphia in a tailspin right now, Dallas now finding life, right? The Panthers just beat the damn Rams. It's wide open. It is wide open in the NFL for the first time in a while. And I think as long as you can get into the dance, you got a chance. If I'm a Panthers fan out there today, you wouldn't. If I was doing sports talk radio in the Carolinas today, you wouldn't believe what the hell I'd have to say. You just beat the best team in football. Your defense looks legit. Your quarterback's playing serviceable. Everybody's got a shot this year, except for Washington, when it comes to making the postseason. They're very much on the outside looking in, and it feels like a wasted season. But in the final 5 weeks, there's a hell of a lot to look forward to, and I think we got a glimpse of it last night. I want to get to my biggest offensive takeaways from last night's performance against the Denver Broncos because, woo, that side of the football did the damn thing. That side of the football did the damn thing last night. You got to think about what Denver was defensively going into this one. Think about what they were. This is a top five defense in the sport. This is a pass rush that was number one in the NFL in sacks on a historic pace in terms of getting after the opposing team's quarterback. And not only did your team handle it, your team thrived. Your team dominated at points during this game up front. So as frustrated as the loss is, and I know some of you out there can't stand it. Right? We've now lost, I think we lost 7 in a row at this point. We've lost 7. That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. But last night eases the burn a little bit. Because you know, hey, Slim, we got some things moving forward. This cupboard isn't as bare as maybe we were leading ourselves to believe it was. And it gets me to my first takeaway from last night. My biggest takeaway from last night. I got two of them. But if I'm ranking them, biggest one and biggest two. This is biggest one. My biggest takeaway from last night, this offensive line, them tight ends, the way that they blocked last night, chef's kiss. To do it against a badass front like Denver, Jonathan Cooper who? Right? Malcolm Roach who? Nick Bonito who? Zach Allen who? Come on, man. You dropped Marcus Mariota back 50 times last night, and they only sacked him twice. You dropped him back 50 times last night. That is, one, Marcus deserves a ton of credit because I thought he played as on to, I'll take it a step further. The performance, and maybe this is definitely going to ruffle some feathers. The performance Marcus Mariota had at quarterback last night was the best quarterback performance we've seen in 2025 from this team. I don't even think it's close. The way he played last night, some of the throws that he made last night, his best play was honestly the pass interference that Jeremy McNichols got called on him. For him to get out of that situation at this stage of his career, this is a 33-year-old quarterback we're talking about in Marcus Mariota. Getting jiggy. Come on, man. I need him re-signed today. We have the best backup in football. I know he had the dumb interception. I know he keeps trying to leave the ground for some stupid reason. But Slim can play. Point blank. This offensive line, though, deserves a ton of credit. Yes, he played on time and got the football out. He just did it again. Yes, he got the football out on time. But, like, the offensive line and what they were able to do. Laremy Tunsil, there was a couple of plays where I'm watching him and I'm going, man, that's what it's like to have a guy that you can just leave on an island by himself against one of the best edge rushers in the sport. He just does his job. Point blank. Sam Cosmi, who was last night's highest graded commander via Pro Football Focus, pitching a 90 grade. Shout out to you, Sam. To go up against Big Zach Allen, Malcolm Roach. These are real horses in the middle of that defense. And Sam Cosmi had no problems. Tyler Biadasz, I thought, was really good. Josh Connolly, that's the story. To me, that's the biggest takeaway of the offensive line. For him to play the way that he played last night, and that BS holding call that he had on him was absolutely garbage. And I'm not even going to get into the officials, because I've heard some of your favorite hosts go on their soapbox about, oh, the officiating this, the officiating that. I don't give a rat's ass. We've had it on our side this year. We've had it on the other side this year. Make plays. I don't care about the officials. But this offensive line, man, how can you not? Like, Bobby Johnson, stand the hell up, brother. He was walking pregame barefoot. It's 30-degree weather out there. He's wired differently. It takes, and I tell you all the time, it takes someone that is clinically insane to play this game at a high level. You got to be off your rocker. You got to be a loose screw. And I think what Washington has up front along this offensive line, not only is it a group that played well last night, I think they are a legitimate top five offensive line in the National Football League. The way that they performed last night in high leverage situations, you can't stretch the defense vertically the way that Washington did last night. You can't threaten defenses vertically the way that the Commanders did last night without that front five being in unison. And here's the other thing. Not only were they great in pass pro, I thought they were really good on the ground as well. Moving people. Moving people. Coming into last night, Denver had one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. They were top three in the National Football League. And Washington came in there last night and punched them in the mouth. I loved everything about what we saw offensively. The offensive line, though, is what sticks out the most. Their movement in the run game, the way they held up in pass pro, the lack of penalties that we saw from that group was super encouraging. That's my number one takeaway offensively from last night. The other big takeaway that I had, man, and I don't even want to get into it right here because I know we're out of time. It's a situation to me, though, like y'all, and I say y'all because I've never been ignorant the way that y'all are. We have several cuts online of me telling you all since August, and I'm not doing this to make it seem like I'm smarter than you. I'm not doing this to try and pat myself on the back. I just want y'all to understand. I love the team the way that y'all do. What the hell were some of y'all thinking with your commentary surrounding Terry McLaurin? What were some of you all thinking with your commentary surrounding Terry McLaurin? That's my second biggest takeaway from last night offensively. When you have a difference maker at the skill position spot, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It's like me walking to church in my drawers, entering the Lord's house and with nothing on. You notice it. It sticks out. Terry McLaurin was awesome last night. Magnificent. sensational, whatever adjective you want to use. That is what a $30 million per year wide receiver looks like. And, oh, it wasn't against Trayvon Diggs, right? It wasn't against Jonathan Jones at practice, right? It wasn't against name your average-ass corner. He did it against the best defensive player in the sport a season ago, and Patrick Surtain. He did it against, arguably, if it's not Houston, it's Denver, talking about who the best defense in 25 has been. It ain't even close. And I know some folks are PO'd at the result. Some folks are ready to fast forward to the offseason. Give me more of this. The dopamine hit that I got last night watching this group walk it up and down the field on the so-called best defense in football, an addicting feeling. You know how many double-digit play drives that Washington had yesterday? I say it all the time. This is why this show is beautiful. You can always go back and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I'm not fronting with you all. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. What have I been saying since September? If you're going to play this bend-but-don't-break style defense, it's on the offense. It's on the offense for things to go well. And last night, we got the best offensive performance of the season, in my opinion. Not even close. You got to give credit where credit is due. You have to. But Terry McLaurin, man, what we saw offensively, this is your 419 yards of offense last night was the most that Denver's allowed since week two. You ran a season-high 85 plays offensively. That is 13 more plays than any team has run on Denver all season long. You were 8-for-17 on third down against the number one third down unit in the National Football League. Do you understand why I'm feeling this way? This was the Broncos we did this against. This isn't some run-of-the-mill, average-ass team. This isn't the Chargers, who are the biggest frauds in the NFL. This is a real-deal Super Bowl contender, and you did it with a backup at quarterback. So anybody out there that was searching for the Commander's pulse, doing a pulse check, they're alive. They're very much alive. The question is, can they build upon this week's success? They did it coming out to bye. They 100% built on that Madrid performance last night. Will they be able to build on Sunday Night Football when you travel to Eden Prairie next week to take on the Vikings? 30 first downs, the most that any team has had this year versus Denver. Hey, Cliff's a badass when he's got 2 weeks to prepare for somebody. I mean, the game plan, he gets credit too, although he can't help himself. It's almost like it literally pains him to run three traditional run plays in a row. We got to get cute. We got to get outside the box. That's okay. Look, I didn't always color inside the lines when I was a kid, and Cliff ain't either. But some of these numbers last night are staggering. 143 net rushing yards, second best versus Denver all year. 276 passing yards, second best versus Denver all year. Zach Ertz with a masterclass of a performance. Terry McLaurin with a masterclass of a performance. Marcus Mariota accounted for damn near 400 yards of offense against the best team in football on defense. And you're telling me don't be excited? There's a lot to look forward to for the Commanders. The future is bright, and so is the rest of 2025. 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. Gave you my thoughts on the offense. Now let's get spicy a little bit. Let's move over to the defensive side of the football. Wasn't a perfect performance at all. You gave up 27 points to one of the more mediocre offenses in football. But there were some good things that you could take away from last night's defensive performance. We'll get into that next as the Team 980.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Half a dozen DBs in for Quint. Knicks double pops and he threw an interception of Bobby Wagner. The veterans got it at the 36-yard line.
Probably the easiest interception of Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner's career. Bo Nix threw it right to him, one of those occasions where you just simply don't see the guy. It was a part of a pretty damn good defensive performance from the Washington Commanders last night in primetime against the Denver Broncos. They did give up 402 yards of total offense. They gave up damn near 6 yards of play. But it felt like watching it in real time that for the most part, they were dictating what Denver did. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Denver has this high-octane offense. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Denver is some super formidable group on that side of the football. But what Washington was able to do last night was make them one-dimensional. How did they do that? They absolutely whipped ass up front. That's where it starts. I say it all the time. Football is a very, very simple game. But fantasy and wagering and all this other stuff, social media, has all changed how we look at it. The analysis of a football game is very simple. If you're better up front along both sides of the line of scrimmage, you're going to win. Point blank. I don't care who you have at wide receiver. I don't care who you have at quarterback. The team that is better in the trenches is going to win. And last night, Washington in the trenches was very, very good. Very, very good. Deron Payne had a series and a sequence where his presence was felt. Eddie Goldman continuing to play big as one of the better rotational interior guys in the league right now, the way that he's played this year. Jacob Martin getting a career high in snaps, flying around to the football. Mikey Sainristil still at the outside corner, playing with confidence, having that boundary as a security blanket. It was awesome. But my biggest takeaway defensively, Dan Quinn's play calling. And I said it in the opening segment. I am going to give credit where credit is due. I do this a lot differently than your favorite hosts do it. I'm telling how a T.I. is. I'm going to wear it on my sleeve, right? You couldn't tell me a month ago that Joe Witt was a bad defensive play caller or was not a good defensive play caller. What did I continue to say? It's on the personnel, not the scheme, not the play calling. Maybe I was wrong, because in the last two games, with Dan Quinn taking over as the defensive play caller, they look different. Now, mind you, you've gone up against two of the most mediocre average offenses in football, and you gave up 27 points last night. Let's not forget that piece of the equation at all. You gave up 27 to Denver, right? And when you look at what the Broncos have done this year, that 27-point total, it's like their fourth highest performance of the year scoring. So it wasn't perfect, but there were some nuances last night that we saw that I think Dan Quinn can really hang his hat on and deserves a bunch of credit for. And I think the first thing that stands out to me is the way that they were disguising pressures. The way that they were changing the look post-snap, the way that they were messing with Bo Nix's eyes pre-snap, I think led to some indecisiveness from Nix. And Nix played well last night. 29 of 45, 321 yards. But more importantly, for Washington, they made Denver one-dimensional. When's the last time We've made a team one-dimensional. Miami ran it on us and threw it. Detroit ran it on us and threw it. Seattle did both. Kansas City did both. Dallas did both. It's been a long, long time since we forced a team into being one-dimensional. And I'll be real. I don't know if that's a Dan Quinn thing. I just think the big boys up front took this matchup personally. Deron Payne took this matchup personally. Javon Kinlaw took it personally. Shelton Day, Eddie Goldman took it personally. I thought Frankie Louvu last night was a guy who was playing square, making tackles, and more importantly, his motor never stopped running. It's all about effort on that side of the football. But their ability to disguise coverages I thought was awesome. The real one that stands out the most because it happened at such a pivotal point in the game. First of all, just the front. That's the other part of this. They were so much more multiple with their defensive fronts. I wish that like I had a tool that could break it down formation by formation. They ran, just from the eye test, they ran more 3-4 last night than we've seen all year long. And that helped them play the run better. It did. Them playing 3-4 last night, I think, definitely helped them play the run better. You weren't seeing the interior defensive linemen of, or offensive linemen rather, of Denver climb up to the second level easily. It wasn't something that was happening without resistance, right? I thought the guys did a hell of a job in that department, playing tough at the point of attack, not giving up a bunch of ground against a double team. The linebackers were scraping over the top. The safeties and run support were awesome. No Igbinoghene in run support was awesome, right? Like, there's a lot of positives to take away last night, specifically on the defensive side of the football. But them disguising the coverages, the sim pressures, the one sim pressure that gets me is Jake Martin is stood up over the center. Right? And Bobby Wagner, right before the snap, comes down and puts a little bug in his ear. And you see Jake Martin drop right back into the passing lane. You saw Jacob Martin drop right back into the passing lane. Boom, Johnny on the spot there to make a play. That's a change in what we've seen. We've seen sim pressures with the edge rushers dropping into the flat. We haven't seen a sim pressure where you got a stand-up guy over the center dropping into the passing lane. And Jake Martin has the athleticism to be able to do that. Last night, Jacob Martin played 71% of the defensive snaps for the Washington Commanders, the most that he has played in his career. I'm going to talk about a guy being ready to seize his opportunity, a guy being ready for the moment. Jacob Martin was that last night. Jeremy Reeves and Will Harris, this ended up being a completion, but Revo trying to disguise it, to the very last minute. Am I coming or am I not? Him and Will Harris end up coming right through the left side of the offensive line in between the guard and the tackle and then the guard in the center. More exotic looks, more exotic pressure packages. I like to see it. It is what matters. But the big thing that I can't really put a finger on when it comes to this defense, is their improvement a byproduct? And maybe this is something we can ask on the phones at some point in the show at 301-230-0980. Is the improvement of the defense a byproduct of the opponent, or is this a situation where Dan Quinn's just making an impact? I want to get into this, though, on the other side of the break. I'm going to give out some game balls. Ant's going to give out some game balls. We want your game balls as well. At 301-230-0980. Who stood out last night in Washington's one-point loss in overtime against the Denver Broncos? 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. Game balls coming your way next.
Mariota to the back. Oh, he caught it! Burks! Unbelievable touchdown!
Mike Tirico on the call last night, Sunday Night Football. Treylon Burks with the catch of the year. Career touchdown number 2 for the former first-round wide receiver of the Tennessee Titans. looking to resurrect his career here in the nation's capital. If he's going to keep making plays like he made last night, Treylon Burks can stay in D.C. as long as he wants. 301-230-0980 is the number. It is a Monday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. First day of December in the Washington Commanders, as we know, a long shot to make the postseason, but a lot of positive takeaways from last night's one-point loss in overtime to the Denver Broncos. Marcus Mariota accounting for damn near 400 yards of offense. Terry McLaurin nearly having a 100-yard day in his return. Zach Ertz going over the century mark defensively. I thought there was a lot of good things that stood out. I want to give some individual guys some credit here. And I want you to line up on the phones with this at 301-230-0980. Who are you giving a game ball to for their performance last night? We're giving out game balls here on the show. You want to tweet at me, you can do so. It is at NELL_BTP. Give me some game balls for the top performers last night for the Washington Commanders. I'm actually going to start with a group that I've spent plenty of time praising here in the opening hour of the program. This offensive line and what they did last night, honestly, I mean, I think Cliff deserves credit. I think Marcus deserves credit for getting the ball out on time. But the execution in which this line played with was phenomenal. In all honesty, it was phenomenal. 85 offensive plays, 50 dropbacks, 2 sacks allowed to the best pass rushing unit in football. Both their tackles were great, right? Talking about Josh Connolly, the rookie, and the veteran Laremy Tunsil. They were good. Sam Cosmi was your highest graded commander via Pro Football Focus with a score of a 90. Moving people in the run game, doing a nice job in pass pro. They played mistake-free for the most part. So a game ball for me goes out to this Commanders offensive line. They were awesome last night. Your game balls at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. And I gave my first game ball. Who is your first game ball going to from last night's game?
I'm going to have to go. I think you already mentioned Terry. I think I'm going to go Zach Ertz. Like, Zach Ertz, 10 catches on 13 targets.
13 targets?
Yeah, 13. Like, I think he resorted back to who he was last year in terms of, like, being a security blanket for, you know, our quarterbacks. Some big fourth down catches. He did drop the third down in overtime, and he also had a tough catch. Alex Singleton played good defense. I can't even lie.
Bagged him.
Like they view it as a drop, but I ain't gonna lie, that's how you play through the ball.
Right.
But outside of that, I think Ertz, he did a phenomenal job yesterday. He even had some yards after the catch, which is, like, you know, very rare for him. But yeah, if I had to give a game ball, I'm definitely going him. 10 catches on 13 targets, looking like the old Zach Ertz.
Yeah, he was big time for this group. And we're going to talk about Zach Ertz a little bit later on in the program, because I think last night's performance is something that I'm going to put a bookmark on and monitor him even more down the stretch, because, as I said on the postgame show last night, look, you have a bevy of holes to fill this offseason. If you don't have to fill tight end, then I think you're in a better spot than what you were heading into the year, right? If you can run it back next year with this tight end room and spend your resources, which are scarce, on things that really matter, like pass rush, pass catchers, running backs, linebackers, defensive backs, then you're in a good spot. 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. Giving out game balls for last night's performance against the Denver Broncos. I gave one of the offensive line. Ant just gave one to Zach Ertz. I'm going to give a game ball to Chris Rodriguez, man. I mean, the way that he continues to run the football, I mean, the best way that I can put it, it's almost like he's running like he knows his time may be up. He's running like someone that doesn't know when his last carry may be. And I respect the hell out of that mentality. Act like you look, he got it out the mud, man. Think about Chris Rodriguez's story. He was somebody They got a DUI in his final year of college at Kentucky, had a fumbling problem in his final year, and ended up falling to the sixth round. He came to Washington, was drafted by Ron Rivera and company, didn't really get his opportunity. Then last year, and I'm going to peel the curtain back a little bit, I know from a very trusted source why Chris Rodriguez last year was in the doghouse. He had a weight issue. He was not in shape. So he is a dude, and I think this is true for life, man. I don't know what it is, and maybe it's just the way that I'm cut and the cloth that I'm cut from. I tend to gravitate towards folks that have really had to deal with adversity in their life. I tend to really respect folks that have had to go through something to get to where they are, and it's really a big reason why my respect, my affinity for Chris Rodriguez is absolutely off the charts. 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. I need your game balls, man. Who played big last night for the Washington Commanders? Who are you proud of and want to show some extra love to? You can do that coming up next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.